أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وآل محمد الأئمة والمهدين وسلم تسليما. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Thank you for joining me here tonight. And tonight we have a very important topic which I want to delve into, especially for all of the people that are watching around the world, and that is the topic of the Raja'ah, okay? The return or the reincarnation. And I think that it is extremely important because till this very day, Muslims all over the world, they are persistent in insisting that reincarnation has nothing to do with Islam and nothing to do with the Abrahamic religions. In fact, Judaism and Christianity, or the followers, the modern-day so-called followers of Judaism and Christianity, largely reject the doctrine of reincarnation as well. But it's mind-baffling to me because there are thousands, literally thousands of narrations from Muhammad and the family of Muhammad, alayhi wasalam, that prove the absolute opposite, and we're going to go through them tonight. Or at least some of them. So we start off with this particular narration, and it's a very dangerous one, and it is from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, who said, "He is not one of us who does not affirm our muta and believe in our raja." So the individual, the person who's claiming to be a Muslim, who's claiming to be a follower of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, cannot claim to be a follower of Muhammad unless, or a member of the religion of Islam, unless they believe in the doctrine of reincarnation. So it's a must, just like it's a must in believing in the oneness of God, just like it's a must that you believe that there's angels and that there's a heaven and that there's a hell and that Muhammad is the prophet of Allah, you also have to believe in the doctrine of the Raja, the doctrine of reincarnation. Here is another narration from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, and it says, he said, "By Allah, the days and nights," he's swearing, and when the imams from the Ahl Bayt alayhi salam swear, you know that it is a great matter. "The days and nights will not pass until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revives the dead and causes the living to die, and restores the truth to its people and establishes his religion, the one he is approved of for himself." So what is he saying? He's saying judgment day is not going to come. The earth is still going to exist. The days and nights will still be in rotation because days and nights are not in the hereafter. They're in this world. So until God brings back to this world those who have passed before. The Raja'ah in the Quran, is there such a thing? Does the Quran talk about reincarnation? And it absolutely does, and it has dozens, literally dozens upon dozens of verses that pertain to it, but we're just going to go over a couple. So there's a narration regarding the interpretation of a particular verse in the Holy Quran from Surah Al-Anbiya. And it was interpreted by both Imam al-Baqir and Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. And it was the verse that says, "Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and it is forbidden for a town which we have destroyed that they shall not return." So basically, God is saying that any town that he brought a punishment down upon, they will never come back to life again. They will never return. And Imam al-Baqir and Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, they say, every town whose people Allah destroyed through punishment will not return in the Raja'ah. This verse is one of the strongest evidences for the concept of the Raja'ah. This is all their words. Because no one amongst the Muslims denies that everyone will return for the day of resurrection, those who perished and those who did not. So to say that this verse is about Yawm al-Iyamah, or the so-called Day of Judgment in the minds of the Sunnis, it's not acceptable. Why? Because they say that everybody will be gathered on the Day of Judgment. But here in this verse, it's saying that any town that we destroyed will not return. Therefore, where is he talking about? Where will they return? So when the verse says, they shall not return, it is speaking about the Raja, a return before the resurrection, not the greater day of judgment itself. As for the day of resurrection, they will all return until they enter the hellfire. Do you understand? In another narration, Abi Basir reported that Imam al-Bakr alayhis-salam said to him, do the people of Iraq deny the Raja? So he's having a conversation. He's saying, are they saying it's false? Reincarnation is false? I said, yes. Abu Basir said, yes. Imam al-Sadiq alayhis-salam said, or Imam al-Bakr alayhis-salam said, do they not read the Quran and mention the day where we will gather from every nation a group? Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam said, what do the people say about this verse? And mention the day where we will gather from every nation a group. I said, they say that it refers to the day of resurrection. He, peace be upon him, said, it is not as they say. That verse refers to the Raja, the return before the day of judgment or day of resurrection. Would Allah gather from every nation only a group on the day of resurrection and leave the rest behind? You see how clear it is. The verse that truly refers to the day of judgment is, and we gathered them all together, leaving not one of them behind. So these are two verses that if they were both speaking about the greater day of judgment, they would be in contradiction to one another, and God forbid that he have any contradictions in his book. The fourth Imam, Zayn al-Abidin alayhi salam, he said regarding this verse, indeed, he who imposed the Quran upon you will return you to a place of return. He said, your prophet, the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali alayhi salam, and the imams alayhum salam will all return. So this verse is actually God promising the Prophet Muhammad that him and his family will return. What about reincarnation in the du'as, the supplications that the Ahl al-Bayt alayhim as-salam gave to the people? In some of the ziyarat, or the supplications of the Ahl al-Bayt alayhim as-salam, we have this phrase that appears over and over again. And it is, indeed, I am among those who affirm your virtues and acknowledge your return. So the Ahl al-Bayt alayhim as-salam were teaching their followers in their supplications to make this admission and confession, this testament that they believe in the doctrine of the Raja or reincarnation. And in the Ziyara Jama'ah, here is a quote from it. There is a line which says, may Allah always keep me for as long as I live, firm in loyalty to you, and make me among those who follow in your footsteps, walk your path, are guided by your guidance, are gathered in your group, and return with you in your Raja, in your return. Sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. And in the ziyara of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, it says, I call you to witness, meaning I call you Imam al-Husayn. So you're supposed to read this supplication when you go visit Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. He says, you're supposed to say, I call you Imam al-Husayn to witness that I have faith in you and am certain of your return. And in one narration by Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, he said, whoever calls upon Allah for 40 mornings with this, which is the dua of al-Ahd, the dua of the covenant, whoever makes dua for 40 mornings, he will be among the supporters of our Qa'im. And if he dies before the Qa'im's appearance, Allah will bring him out of his grave. And for every word of the supplication, Allah will record 1,000 good deeds and erase 1,000 sins. O Allah, if death, which you have made an inevitable decree upon your servants, comes between me and him, then raise me from my grave, wrapped in my shroud, with my sword unsheathed, my spear bared, answering the call of the caller in the city and the desert, wherever he may call from. So, they spoke a lot. We proved now from the Quran very briefly, because there's a lot more verses and a lot more supplications that are out there that speak about the concept of the reincarnation of the Raja. But who will return specifically? Do we have any clue? Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, in one narration, he said, "The first person for whom the earth will split open for and who will return to this world is Al-Husayn, son of Ali, alayhi salam." So he's the first of those who return. Imam al-Husayn, alayhi salam, himself said, "I will be the first for whom the earth will split open, and I will emerge in a return that coincides with the return of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, alayhi salam, and the rise of our Qa'im." So here we have a clue. We have a clue that when it's the time of the Qa'im, when the Qa'im appears, who else is going to be present? Imam Ali alayhi salam and Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. That they're actually all appearing at the same time. In another narration, the Imam said, "No, by Allah, this world will not come to an end, nor will it pass away until the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, and Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam meet at Al-Thawiyyah, and there they will build a mosque that has 12,000 doors." So now we have Imam al-Husayn, the Qa'im, Imam Ali, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, all returning. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam said in another narration, he says, "The first to return to this world will be Al-Husayn, son of Ali, and he will rule until his eyebrows fall onto his eyes from old age." And here we have a great clue that Imam Al-Husayn, alayhi salam, when he returns, he's returning in the capacity of a successor, of as a ruler, as somebody who is not coming simply to appear or to make an appearance, but rather somebody who's going to play an active role in governance of the Islamic nation. Al-Mufaddal ibn Umar reported from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, who said, "With the Qa'im will emerge from the depths of Al-Kufa 27 men, 15 from the people of Musa alayhi salam, who were guided by the truth and acted justly, 7 from the people of the cave, and also Joshua the son of Nun, Salman, Abu Dajjan al-Ansari, al-Miqdad, and Malik al-Ashtar. They will be his supporters and judges." And so in this particular narration, you get even more insight of the names of particular companions, as well as prophets and famous individuals from the Quran that make a return in the time of the Qa'im. So now we see that it's not exclusive only to the Ahl Bayt alayhi salam, but it also extends to these individuals. Who else? Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, while interpreting another verse from the Quran, which says, "Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, indeed we will support our messengers." God saying, "We will support our messengers and those who believe during the life of this world." That's a divine promise. "And on the day when the witness will stand." He said, "That, by Allah, refers to the return. Did you not know that many prophets were not supported in this world and were killed? And the imams after them were also not supported, were not victorious, were killed? That will happen during the return." He's saying what? He's saying the prophets and the saints, they always lost. They were always killed. They were always slaughtered. So how can God's promise be true unless he's going to bring them back? In another hadith, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam said, "And 70 prophets will join al-Husayn amongst his companions who were killed with him and alongside him, just as they were sent with Moses, son of Imran alayhi salam." So here we have another indication of another group of people, and they are the martyrs that were with Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, as well as even more prophets that are coming to this world. Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, in another narration, says, "Indeed, Daniel, the prophet, and Joshua will emerge to the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, saying, 'God and his messenger have spoken the truth.' And God will send with them 70 men to Basra." So this is going to happen at a particular time where they'll have a particular stance, these two great prophets, with Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, and they will testify. Al-Mufaddal ibn Umar said, "I heard Abu Abdullah, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, say, 13 women will also return." So now we see that it's not exclusive to only males, but there are also many females that will return to this world and reincarnate. Reincarnation also applies to them. He said, "What will they do with the Qa'im?" He said, "They will treat the wounded and care for the sick, just as they did with the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi." I said, "Name them for me." He said, "Al-Qanwa bint Rashid, Ayman, Hababa, Sumayya, Zubaydah, Khalid, Sa'id, Sabana, and Khalid." And obviously these are great women that supported the Imam, saints from the time of Moses, and great individuals from the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. And in another hadith from Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, he said, "It is as if I see Abdullah al-Amiri wearing a black turban with its two ends hanging between his shoulders, ascending the side of the mountain ahead of our Qa'im from the Ahl Bayt, leading 4,000 men, all chanting takbir and returning." And he's saying, "I'm seeing visions of the future. I'm telling you that companions from my time, they're going to be reincarnating with the Qa'im, leading 4,000 other people that all of them had returned." Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, he says, here's a secret narration about what Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam said to his companions on the night of Ashura. What did he say? The 10th of Muharram. He says, "So rejoice in paradise, for by Allah, we shall remain in the state of death as long as God wills, after what will befall us. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring us and you back when our Qa'im appears, and he will avenge the wrongdoers, and we and you will witness them, our oppressors, in chains and shackles, suffering all kinds of torment and punishment." Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam said, "Indeed, Allah will surely resurrect from Adam to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, every sent prophet." So all 124,000 prophets and messengers will return. "They will strike with the sword before me against both the living and the dead, and against all of mankind and the jinn." Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam said, "It is as if I see Himran ibn Ayun and Maysar ibn Abdul Aziz striking people with their swords between As-Safa and Al-Marwa." Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam said, "Allah will surely resurrect from Adam to Muhammad every sent prophet. They will strike with the sword before me, cutting down the heads of both the living and the dead, of mankind and jinn alike. And surely I will have a return after a return. I will incarnate and reincarnate, and I will have a raj'ah after a raj'ah. I am the master of the returns and reincarnations and comebacks, and the master of assaults and acts of divine vengeance." Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam said, "Indeed, I asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding Ismail," because Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, he had a son whose name was Ismail, and the Shia, they thought that he was going to be his successor, but he died during his lifetime. So Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam said, "I asked Allah regarding Ismail, my son, that he would keep him alive after me, but God refused. However, he granted me another position for him, that he will be amongst the first to be brought back in the Raja, along with 10 of his companions, and from them are Abdullah, who will carry his banner. Al-Mufaddal ibn Umar said, "We were talking about the Qa'im and those of our companions who have died and are awaiting him." Abu Abdullah alayhi salam said, "When the Qa'im rises, the believer in his grave will be addressed, 'O you, your master has appeared. If you wish, join him. And if you wish, remain in the honor of your Lord, then stay.'" So now we see it's not just saints, it's not just prophets and messengers, it's not just the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, but it's also the believers in every day and age. They will have an opportunity, the true believers, to return back to this world. So the people are always returning, or is it just one-time event? Let's see. Are they always reincarnating, or is it just in the time of the Qa'im? Al-Mufaddal ibn Umar said, "We entered one day upon Abu Abdullah, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, while we were 12 men." There were 12 men standing around, like the 12 disciples of Jesus. They were sitting around Imam al-Sadiq. Abu Abdullah began greeting each one of us individually, calling each of us by the name of a prophet. He said to one, "As-salamu alayka ya Nuh, peace be upon you, O Noah." And to another, he would say, "Peace be upon you, O Abraham." And the last person he greeted, he said, "Peace be upon you, O Jonah." Then he said, "There is no preference between the prophets, or do not prefer one prophet over another." And that is a great indication there. That's an indication that Abraham, Noah, and Jonah, they reincarnated in the time of the sixth Imam, Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam. Al-Mufaddal ibn Umar said, "Indeed, 70 prophets were killed along with Abu Ismail," meaning Abu al-Khattab, "each of whom had seen and perished a prophet in him." So the language is a little bit odd, and we're going to come to the meaning of it here in a minute. But what we do understand from the narration so far very clearly is that Al-Mufaddal ibn Umar is saying that 70 prophets reincarnated in the time of Abu al-Khattab, and they all perished. And when you go to Bahar al-Anwar for the clarification, it says their statement, "all of them saw," appears in different versions of the narration. In some versions, it reads, "he saw and perished as a prophet within him," meaning each of them claimed to have seen God and perished while believing in prophethood, meaning either their own prophethood or believing in the prophethood of Abu al-Khattab, or they perished while aiding Abu al-Khattab. In other versions, it reads, "perished and spoke to him directly," which is the more apparent reading. In yet others, it reads, "declared God's oneness and spoke to him directly." That is, they said, "there is no God but Allah," while claiming to speak directly to God. "Exalted is he, far above what they claim." In all these readings, it's possible to interpret the pronouns as referring to Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, based on the beliefs of those who claimed divinity for him. Now, we have in Al-Hafti Sharif this concept of the closest companions to the Imam being at a very high level of awareness. So these are people that had reached the 10th degree, like Salman, like Al-Mufaddal ibn Umar, like Abu al-Khattab. And because they reached that high level of awareness, they realized who they were. They remembered who they were. They came to this realization that they were reincarnated prophets and messengers. And they also came to the level where they recognized and realized something about the Imam of their time. What is that something? We'll see here in Al-Hafti Sharif. Al-Mufaddal said, "O Master, was there with Al-Husayn in those times any of the Unitarian believers?" As-Sadiq said, he had one Unitarian believer with him, and you will see him with us. Now, if you go to another place in Al-Hafti Sharif, it's referring to a conversation between Gabriel and Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam as they were in Karbala. And Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam asks Gabriel, "Who am I?" And Gabriel says, "You're God, the one, the conqueror," recognizing that the Imam, at times, he's the veil of God, and so at times he's speaking directly to God, while at other times he's speaking to the Imam. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam said he had one of these true Unitarian believers with him, only one. Can you imagine? Out of all those who sacrificed themselves with Imam al-Hussein in Karbala, only one of them had reached that level. Al-Mufaddal said, so Abu al-Khattab came, and I said, "Listen, O Abu al-Khattab, to what my master al-Sadiq is saying." Then Abu al-Khattab said, "Yes, I was with him." Then our master al-Sadiq returned to his speech and said, "Verily, when they encircled al-Hussein, he called for Gabriel and Michael and Raphael. And they responded, 'At your command, our Lord.' So he said, 'Lift me up in the air.' So al-Hussein and his lad Gabriel were lifted. Then he recited Allah's words, 'They will not believe in it until they see the grievous penalty.' Then he took them the take of a capable dear one." Al-Mufaddal ibn Umar said, "O master, did the companions of Imam al-Hussein see Gabriel?" Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam said, "Yes, and they saw Michael and Raphael, and I see them and you see them." Al-Mufaddal said, "O master, I see Gabriel, Raphael and Michael?" He said, "Yes." I said, "O master, in one image or in different images?" He, peace be upon him, said, "Rather in our image." Al-Mufaddal said, "O master, when have I seen Gabriel?" He said, "You have seen him today." Al-Mufaddal said, "Where?" He said, "In this very house of ours." I said, "At what time?" Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam said, "At this very hour. Would you like Gabriel to talk to you?" I said, "By Allah, I would." He said, "O Abu al-Khattab, are you Gabriel?" Abu al-Khattab said, "By Allah, I am Gabriel. And by Allah, I am the one who was sent by al-Hussein to the cursed Umar ibn Sa'd. And I am the one who spoke to him and shoved his face into hellfire, he and all of his companions. And I am in charge of punishing them by his command. And I am the companion of the first Adam. And he commanded me to shout one shout at creation. So I dismembered them, and I bound them with chains and cuffs. And I am the companion of Noah and his call to his people, to the worship of Allah and his oneness, but they did not acknowledge, so I split them with the flood. And I am the companion of Abraham when they denied him and threw him in the fire. And I, by Allah, was with him, and nothing of the heat of the fire struck me, nor him. And I am the companion of Daniel and the Ark of the Covenant and the scrolls. And I, by Allah, wrote it with my own hand and my writing. And I never doubted and never doubt his godhood. And I am the companion of Moses and Jesus and Muhammad. And I am Abu al-Khattab and the father of good. I am the one who shouted a shout at the people of Lut, and I destroyed them. And I am between the hands of every imam in every age and time, in different images and under different names. And I am with the Qa'im, between his hands. I blast the oppressors with his sword, and he commands me, and I obey him. And I give life and death, and distribute sustenance by the command of my Lord." And this opens up an entire new question, a new chapter, and that is this idea of now, okay, now it's not just the prophets and the messengers and the righteous and the martyrs and the saints, but it's also the angels that are incarnating and appearing in human form. In one particular narration, Abu Abdullah alayhi salam said, "The Qa'im will not emerge until the circle is completed." I asked, "And how many is the completion of the circle?" He replied, 10,000. Gabriel will be on his right. So there's a confirmation of what we just read in Al-Haft al-Sharif. And Michael will be on his left. Then he will shake the victorious banner and march with it. There will be no one remaining in the east nor in the west, except that they will curse it. This is the banner of the Messenger of Allah under which Gabriel descended on the day of Badr. So now we have not just Gabriel appearing, but also Michael. And in other traditions, it includes also Raphael. And most people, Sunnis and Shia, they know of this particular narration, which says that Gabriel used to come to the Prophet in the form of Dihya al-Kalbi. So Dihya was one of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad. He appeared in human form. And it was something that the companions noted and noticed, that the Prophet, whenever he would be talking to Gabriel, they would actually just see him talking to this companion. And that's not really a mystery, because the Holy Quran says, "And if we had made the messenger an angel, we would certainly have made him appear as a man, and we would have certainly confused them just as they are already confused." Which means what? Which means that God, if he was to send an angel to speak to people on the ground, on the earth, he would send them in the form of human beings, looking just like everybody else looks, and the people would not know. Abu Abdullah alayhi salam said, "By Allah, Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam was a muhaddath." What's a muhaddath? One who receives special knowledge. "And Salman was a muhaddath." I said, "Explain this term to me. What is this muhaddath thing?" He said, "Allah would send to him, Ali, an angel who would tap on his ears and say such and such." So there is now this category of people that are not prophets, not messengers. In the case of Imam Ali, an imam, but it's not exclusive to imams, because obviously Salman is in that category too. So high-level companions that reach the 10th degree of faith, what happens to them when they reach the 10th degree of faith? They gain this ability. They become a muhaddath, somebody who actually has the ability now to receive revelations from angels, to be in contact with angels in one way, shape, or form. Al-Hasan ibn Mansur said, "I went to Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, and I asked him, was Salman a muhaddath?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Who speaks to him?" He said, "A noble angel." I said, "If Salman has that status, then his companion, what status is he?" So he couldn't get it through his mind that, like, what are you talking about? So if Salman's a muhaddath and he's speaking to angels, then what is Imam Ali alayhi salam? He must be not just a muhaddith, he has to be something much greater than that. He replied to him, "Why don't you just turn and mind your own business?" So what is the imam then in the rajah? So one of the companions said, "I asked Abu Abdullah about the verse, 'This is our gift, grant or withhold without reckoning.' He said, 'This verse, he granted Suleiman, the Prophet Solomon, a mighty kingdom. And then this verse was applied to the messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the messenger Muhammad may give whatever it is that he wants to whoever it is that he wants. And he can also withhold from whomever he wills. And Allah gave him more than what he gave Suleiman because of the verse, 'Whatever the messenger gives you, take it, and whatever he forbids you, refrain from it.'" So we need to take it slow for a moment. We need to contemplate over the words and really analyze them. So he's saying what? He's saying that when God gave Solomon a kingdom, God told Solomon that this kingdom that I'm giving you, all of this authority, all this power, all these people, all this property, all these riches, This is our gift to you, Suleiman. You can give from these gifts and money and property and animals and whatever else. You can give to whoever it is that you want to. And you can also forbid or withhold it from whoever it is that you want to. And nobody can call you unjust. Why? Because it's all for you. This is our gift for you. You can do it and you will never be judged because I have given it to you. Isn't that incredible? Then he's saying that this power, this ability was given to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that Allah gave Muhammad even more than what he gave Suleiman. And that goes directly in line with the hadith that we read yesterday, in yesterday's lecture. Why? Because God gave Muhammad the following verse. And the following verse says, whatever the messenger gives you, take it, and whatever he forbids you, refrain from it. So what does this mean? Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, I heard him say, Allah disciplined his messenger, perfecting him in the manner he desired. Then he entrusted him, saying, whatever the messenger gives you, take it, and whatever he forbids you, refrain from it. Whatever Allah entrusted to his messenger, he entrusted to us. Which means what? Which means that God, I'm going to speak it to you plainly, God made the Prophet Muhammad a good man. And then he set him loose and he said to the people, obey this man in whatever it is that he asks you to do. He didn't give him a set of commands like he did Moses. He just said to the people, follow Muhammad in whatever it is that he tells you. And whatever he gave to Muhammad, he also gave to the imams from the Ahl Bayt. One of the companions entered upon Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam and heard him say, indeed, Allah, exalted be He, disciplined His Prophet by His love, saying, and indeed, you are of great moral character. So God built up the morals and manners of Muhammad. And then He entrusted him, saying, and whatsoever the messenger gives you, take it. And whatsoever he forbids you, refrain from it. And he said, he who obeys the messenger has obeyed Allah. Then he said, indeed Allah entrusted the matter to Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam and confided in him. So you submitted while the people denied. When we speak, say, and when we are silent, be silent. And we are between you and Allah. There is no good in disobeying our matter. Now, this is a really incredible hadith here. Really incredible. Watch this. Let's read this together. Abu Ja'far alayhi salam said, the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam placed the blood price for the eye, the blood price for the soul. He forbade wine and every intoxicant. Someone asked him, did the messenger do this without something being revealed about it? He replied, yes, so that people know who obeys the messenger and who disobeys him. Do you understand what's being said here? What's being said is that the daya, the blood price, when you kill somebody, when you harm somebody, all of these judgments that the people abide by, thinking that they came from God, they didn't come from God. They just came from Muhammad. And in fact, God himself never forbade wine and every intoxicant, ever. He never brought down any verses, never gave any commandments saying that wine and every intoxicant is haram. Who did it? Well, we have it here on the words of the Ahl Bayt themselves, the children of Muhammad, they reveal it. They said, when asked, did the messenger do this without it even being revealed? He just did it from his own self. He just decided that this is what he's going to do. They said, yes. So that the people may know the power, the greatness of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and so that they may know who obeys the messenger and who doesn't. And so in conclusion, we know who the Imam is in the Raja, in the return. He's the inheritor of the prophets and the messengers. He's the one who is given a greater kingdom than Solomon, and he has with him the authority that was given to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, and to his successors to grant anyone anything without ever being held accountable for it, and to forbid anybody from anything without ever having to be held accountable for it. The entire matter, the entire planet, and the entirety of religion, which was something that was not given to Solomon, was only given to Muhammad and his successors, that is in his hand. And so he will be coming with a new religion, a new book, a new jurisprudence, a new matter that is heavy upon the disbelievers, but it will be sweet as honey upon all those who have returned. God bless you, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.